Here.
Vice President Lookout?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Dell?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
You all stand and join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act. The board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any elected official, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. Is there any public comment at this time?
Evening, President Dahl, members of the board, Mark Montero, Shannon. With regards to your last statement here in public comment, slanderous, profane, personal remarks, et cetera, I was wondering if you'd like to know what the law has to say about that. Commander Vasti, who is on our agenda tonight, made some statements back in October, and I would like to quote, "Public meetings are a constitutional right that we all enjoy. You also have the right to assemble. You also have the right to speak your mind. Your rights extend to the point where you are addressing or attacking someone physically. You hold sticks and stones and you will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Expressions of speech are not violations of the law," I'm quoting Commander Vasti. "However, right or wrong or morally inacceptable it may be, it's not a violation of the law. The rights of the chairperson only extend to where there is a violation of the law. In other words, expression of speech is not a violation of the law." Okay. Now, public comment has to do more with, lately, about calling a spade a spade, and I think that's pretty much characterizes what's been going on with regards to public comment. For instance, the lack of it at the last of the meeting. Unfortunately, Mr. Volley decided to strip public comment after 3 consecutive meetings, in spite of the fact that 3 of your fellow board members had kindly admonished you not to do that. Board member items for discussion. Be nice if our board members could have things to discuss that are not on the agenda, but that's been taken away here. Cleaning out of this culvert down here was admonished by former President Hill on two occasions, and now we have a problem. The district has a problem because of that action. Half a decade worth of missing documents, very interesting, but janitor got away with it somehow, threw it in the trash. More manure, it's all happening right in front of us. Oh, by the way, Mr. Ball, that $850 that you owe the district, do you have a plan to repay that? I think the people out here would like to know if you have a plan to repay that $850. We will continually use expressions of speech, and we'll just continue to do that. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any additional public comment?
I would like to really sorry to see another public comment, a chance for you as elected officials to hear from the public. By look at what input you have from the public, you really don't have any means to get feedback. What happens is that your social circles get smaller and smaller and more condensed with the same voices, and we don't look outside that little social arena. And so by eliminating more and more public comment, you cut yourself off from the public that elected you. So I'm really disappointed in seeing that happen. And that leads me into the same topic I usually bring up, one, money, two, is representation. We elected you as a body to represent us. And I constantly come here and ask, do we have representation at the Board of Supervisors? Do we have representation on a state level? And I don't expect you to have representation on a federal level. But so I noticed this year started out a little different. There was no goal setting where there was a town hall meeting and the people came together and said, these are our goals, these are our issues for the town. You, Mr. President, failed to set together a goal session where we could have a town hall meeting. So it's more than just 10 voices in your head. I think it's really important that you go back and set up open session, a town hall meeting, where the town of Oceano can be brought in. And you can hear that from more than just 10 people, or 12, or however many people. And then also, too, is the visibility is just lacking. You know, I watch all the newspapers, I watch all the public access, and Oceano's not there. We're just not on the map. I mean, they barely tell us what the temperature is on the news. There's no visibility. And I look to my elected officials for visibility, and it's not there. I watch the Board of Supervisors meetings, and the leadership is not there. And so, once again, I'm going to ask you to please try to make yourselves a little bit more visible, try to make yourselves a little bit more present, and maybe you can see it in yourselves to maybe invite the community of Oceano to the town hall meeting to see what the community wants, because this is election year. There are two seats up on your board, and I'm not quite sure the town of Oceano knows that these seats are available. And I think there are a lot of people who would really embrace being leaders instead of feel burdened by it, which appears to be the case with you, since you keep cutting down the public comment time. So thanks again for listening to me.
Thank you.
Again, in the same subject, our kind of communication, okay? I think we have the right of speech all over the United States. This is what we want to do for, okay? And again, to, you know, I request that you do announce what's going on in this community, because you do it on closed doors. We don't know anything about it. Then you come in here and just sit in here and wait for the three musketeers to come in here and just say the same thing over and over again, and you just don't listen to anything that's being said at all. I don't feel that you guys are doing anything for this community at all. Okay? Beginning from November of last year, or year before, when we set all our goals, none of them have been fulfilled. Except for the center, which is still under construction. We still don't have any lights. We still don't have the drainage. But in every agenda that we get, everything that we get every 2 weeks, there's the gutter, the sewage, and this has been on and on for the last 2 years. And we're still flooding. We still have debris all over town. We still have it every time it rains. This last time that it rained, we couldn't even go to the Tapatia because it was flooded. All Highway 1 was flooded. All this 4th Street, Front Street was flooded. And what are you guys doing here? I talked to Mr. here over here, and he said that was county. Okay, you guys represent the community of Oceano. You have access to the county. You can talk to the county, hey, what's going on? This is our town. What do we want to do about it? I'm pretty sure you put up for grants for this and for that. You can put up for grants to clean up this town. Because we're getting a lot of mosquitoes and a lot of things, and our kids are getting sick. 10% of our kids are sick in school or at home because they are sick. And this is caused by the weather, by the flooding, by the debris, and by you guys putting attention on what's going on around our community.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I'll give some public comment, because you take away our director's comment. We were elected by the people of Oceano to represent Oceano. Each one of us had to sit up here to represent the people that elected us. There was a letter came out in the paper today that I had written, and it was published in the Tribune first, and then today it was published in the Five Cities paper. I'd like to read it to you, because this is my opinion. I'm going to leave out a name on it at the bottom of it, but but here's what I have to say. Let the public speak. I love living in America, having the liberty and the rights of freedom of speech. However, when that is taken away from us as Americans, we need to speak out and fight for that right. The OCL Community Service District has had two meetings lately where these previous rights have been taken away from the public at the end of the meetings. Public comment allows an elected official to understand the citizens of his or her community and work for the betterment of the community as the official was elected to. A little mistake there. In Oceano, public comment goes back prior to 1997 as being in place at the end of meetings to allow additional input from the public. As an elected director for the Oceano communities, I will always stand up for our community's rights, whether it be freedom of speech, flooding, traffic dangers, community safety, or just enhancement of our community. I ask our community to stand together and see that our rights are observed. Bring public comment back at the end of the meetings. Forget string biting. This is a good letter, but Jim Doe and I came and researched public comment and saw how far it went back. I had put 1997 in here. We found public comment to go back to 1991. We went to look for records going past that, but they were lost for some unknown reason. We haven't been able to find out that yet, officially. It's important. And I hope that the public will ask for public comment to continue. Thank you.
Mr. President, I read in the newspaper this morning that about an announcement for our meeting, and it stated that the meeting would commence at 6:30, which is our normal time. Accordingly, I'd like to move that public comment be continued until 6:30 so that people who may have seen that notice in the newspaper and are expecting the meeting to begin at 6:30 would have the opportunity to address the board.
Yeah, I was already planning on doing another public comment after the detailed session. Is there any more public comment? Okay. We've had a request to do both closed sessions, one right after the other.
Can I ask for a point of order? Mr. Dahl, can you please explain the change in agenda that you just stated to Mr. Hill? Because you just proposed the change in the agenda, so just trying to keep the record straight.
What I was planning on doing was asking if we could reopen public comment after the closed sessions were over with. Okay. Now, do I need a motion and something to at this point to do that?
You could close the public comment and then seek a motion to reopen it later, or you could continue the public comment until after the closed session.
All right.
My understanding is that I moved that we
would have to the attorney.
I think we were about to say almost the same thing. My understanding was the basis for that was there was an announcement in the paper that might have misinformed the public regarding the meeting time.
Yeah. So do I need a motion to continue it?
Just to keep the record straight, that's probably a good thing. I'm not sure that you it's required, but it's probably a good thing.
All right. So I'll entertain a motion to continue the public comment until after the executive sessions.
Move for the third time.
Second.
Do a roll call vote.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. So moving on to item number four, the executive session, we have had a request to do both executive sessions, one item number four and number 15 after number four. If there's no objections, we'd like to do that.
Can you take a public comment before that
comment on item number four, please?
I'm going to have to recuse myself from item number four as it's within 500 feet of my business, and it also does pertain to me and my business. I'm going to get up to the microphone over here and give public comments, so then I'm going to have to excuse myself from the building.
Don't go too far, because we need you for item 15.
Can I stay here, dear? Is it better to go up over
here? Yeah, it's better that you give your public comment.
I like it over here.
What I'm saying is when we adjourn to closed session, don't go too far, because pizza, you are needed for 15.
Oh, Bill Bookout, Oceano Nursery. This item is about my nursery. An incident has taken place down there many, many times. We're very fortunate that the meeting of January 10th last year was videotaped. I want to present this to the directors. You're out. In that meeting, you're going to see a lot of pictures of the flooding issue. You're going to hear the public speak. The public's comments are very important. And we have a lot of citizens that have a lot of knowledge of what transpired with the flooding issue down here. And in the pictures, you'll see on the bulletin board, the ballots down here, seeing pictures of the reason why we flooded. You've all got received a packet from me regarding the response to Alex's letter. And also Alex's letter is included in this. The public has a copy of this too. I want you to look over this in your meeting, in your executive session. I want you to pay close attention to what's in here. Our town needs improvement. Caltrans is doing stuff up the street here with the county. The homeless getting things happening. The county has told us it's our responsibility for this drainage basin down here. There's a letter in here going back to 1996 where Bill Davis has taken and went into the drainage channel and cleaned it out. This sedimentation and the debris of eucalyptus should not be allowed. Yes, we've made mistakes in our weed abatement program, and yes, we leave enough debris on the ground. That's not acceptable. You know, when you charge a railroad money to weed abate property, then you do not leave that same debris that you're charging the money for on the ground for erosion control. You remove it. Phil Davis, you know, in years past, did a great weed abate program. He used to be a fire chief here. He understands Oceana. He understands that drainage channel. And when you read his 1996 letter, you will understand his understandings. This last year, I found out a lot of information. One was a letter back in June 7th, I believe, with Phil's institutional recollection of what happened, why that pipe is there. In this letter, you'll find out why that pipe is there. You'll also find out that that pipe is not on railroad property. At the end of that letter, you'll see that it says we're looking for an easement. There is no easement, or that is in there. You'll have to read it. At the bottom of that, you're going to see a whole bunch of pictures. Here's one with Phil looking to the drainage channel with all the debris. You're going to see Dan from Kobe. On that January 10th meeting, you're going to see Dan from Kobe talking here. You're going to see many pictures. You're going to see Aurora Grande coming out and removing the pond water, and then you're going to see the water flowing perfectly off of Highway 1 due to that great effort by Aurora Grande. It's too bad that that couldn't have been done this year. It's very bad that my nursery had to flood again. This is the worst flood I have ever had. On January 30th, Dan from Pokey took pictures of the drainage channel. They're included in here. You will see the debris in the drainage channel. I believe he took those pictures to you, Phil, and they were on his camera. And you saw on the camera, but he didn't have copies for you. But then, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Alex, you received those pictures on the at our last meeting on the 11th. Is that not?
I have a number of pictures. I don't know if I have one.
Okay, well, maybe you can refer those to here and observe those. This is our community. I have created a beautiful business for this community. I've threatened to go out of business. I've threatened to sell my property. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for this community. I love this community, and I love what I've created down the street at my nursery. That's me. I've got antiques, I've got art, I've got gifts, I've got dinosaurs, I've got rocks, I've got plants. What I don't need, though, is flooding. I have a foot and a half of water in my nursery. I have chemicals go through my nursery. Right now, I have mold in my nursery. They have looked out for my better interests. They know I'm going to make it, but they have been very patient. That's one of my parts. I have a bankroll. You know, I didn't create that business without loans. I have another partner, and that's Union Pacific Railroad. Union Pacific Railroad has a vested interest in my business right now. That pipe that's run onto their property, that is a vested interest. Last but not least, I have one other partner, and they are Colonial Claims. Fortunately, I finally got wise last year. I bought flood insurance after I flooded the 1st of January. That flood insurance cost me $500. It was the best investment I have ever made. That flood insurance that I bought for, I have a claim of $80,000. That is not what my damages are down there. That is not my recurring damages. But that's going to get me started. Now, Colonial Life Claims also has a copy of this. They're going to talk me to OCSD. I remind you to read Alex's letter and then read mine. Or read mine before you read Alex's, because you will find quite a difference in those two letters. Thank you.
Any additional comment on item number 4?
Mr. President Dahl, I recall that meeting with January 10th. The reason I recall is because I was the one to take that meeting. And I'm glad I didn't do that. Since I came here back in the 60s as a teenager, every winter, without fail, the newspaper carried the flooding right down here. Kind of used to be a blast to see how fast you could run through there and if you could ground your car out or not. And I wasn't even aware that there was a drainage pipe underneath the railroad tracks until I started my involvement here in the district and found out there really was. Because I thought, the water just collects there and that's the way it goes. The thing is, maintenance, you know, in my opinion, just my opinion, is maintenance is all we need. As Bill pointed out previously, that AG came out here and with a small investment took care of cleaning out that pipe. And the following season, the water just went right straight on through and there was no problems. It's a matter of maintenance. Okay? And this board was warned about that and negligence followed and therefore we have a problem. It's a matter of listening, okay? Let's just listen and pay attention. And I hope this can be resolved.
Community. Flooding is an issue in this town. If you guys, as leaders, would take that on as a power, I think that we could rectify this and stop with this certain sore spot, you know? I've heard people say, you know, that, well, the people in Oceano don't have any pride. Oh, we have pride, all right. There's pride all over this town. It's just being a little bit suppressed. And so I'm asking you as leaders to make this one of your powers. We're in the sand. We have a water issue. We have actually too much water because we give it away. You know, so take it upon yourselves to rectify this. You spend a lot of time and money down on Care Street and down on the Strands. I think it's only appropriate the main highway coming into town that you take ownership of it and, you know, make it look good so other businesses won't come here.
Thank you.
Next to the ocean market. I believe we've been here before. What's your last year with the flood? What was your last month? And give my expression about the flood. And I think I kind of pleaded with you folks, somebody's got to take the lead here in order to help us with this flooding situation. As you well know, the town is growing, and Bill was affected, I was affected. I continuously try to improve the corner there, and I think there's going to be other tenants in that corner that are going to be affected next year if this is taken care of. I don't know how to tell you, I kind of feel embarrassed that we have to continuously come back here and talk about the same issue, and nothing has been done. I think they tried, but it may be the maintenance has done it, because every time they go in there and clean it up, the water flows pretty good. I don't want to blame anybody, but I think that, like Colby, when they built their shed on top of that culvert, they extracted the water, they stopped the water, because then they divert it out where it goes into a pond, and it actually like goes uphill towards that pond. It's not the natural flow no longer. They stopped that. I'm not saying it's their fault. I don't see how they were able to do that, stop the natural flow of the water. But every time they get in there and they clean this little culvert, this holding pond that they have, that goes into the bigger pond, the water flows pretty good. But we came down here, and I complained going to be able to do that. We know what your jurisdiction is, because every time we come here and complain about a particular thing, you tell us, you remind us about what our jurisdiction is. But I think that you guys are elected officials in this town, and you have to go beyond what your jurisdiction is, because you have a responsibility. You have been put into a position to take issues on and address these issues seriously and get this thing done. I was affected last year, I was affected this year. My damages are much different. This year was affected worse because I just got a landscape out and it cleaned my landscape out. In the past, I've had flooding inside, and I have to go back to saying that if we had law enforcement to block the cars from attempting to cross that lake, we wouldn't have these little tsunami waves that come in there and continuously go into our property, and that's really affecting Bill at the same time. We called the Highway Patrol. They came and they set up there. Even with the Highway Patrol there, they were crossing. But when they stopped those cars, the water calmed down and it started to flow. So what we need to do, really, is that everybody says this. That's a state highway. It's not our jurisdiction. I asked the sheriff, general that was here. He said, well, it's not my jurisdiction. It's Caltrans. Well, he's law enforcement. He's here to protect the citizens of this town. And yet he doesn't have jurisdiction to do anything. I don't believe that. Somebody has to do something. If the sheriff doesn't want to do anything, well, then let's get the fire department to help us out here. And put a barrier out there. Put a truck in front of them. Put the red lights and tell them, you cannot cross. Don't attempt to cross. Because they continuously do that. And they cause the flooding. It makes it worse. Now, I believe, and when we spoke to the people from the county, they blame each other or they blame some other person. Somebody's got to take it up and do something about it. Because now it's affecting the safety of the community. The fire department can no longer go down Highway 1 on this flood. They have to go other. They have to take another route to get it. If there's an emergency, can you imagine? If it's a minute off their course, it could cause a death of a person. Because of that safety hazard that's there. Law enforcement can't go down there. The transit company, my God, if anybody's there, they can't go through there. People lose out. Maybe they'll lose their job because they didn't get there on time. I think it's time that we do something about it. And I feel embarrassed that one of the board members has to get up here, because he was directly affected, and has to go against his own position.
We're as frustrated as everybody else is. It's not that we're sitting on our hands. But it's nothing that, I mean, we have legal restraints against us as well, as far as being able to spend any money on time. But, you know, thank you. You know, we all feel for what both of you are going through. Yes, please.
My name is Norm Getty. I am a resident of Oceano. I live at 2400 Cienega, number 63. About a year ago in January, I attended a workshop that addressed this issue of the drainage problem. And it was interesting to observe the fact that everybody got through the process of the meeting and all decided that they could not do anything about it. I was rash enough to stand up and suggest that the solution to the problem being that to protect the drainage area between the highway and the drainage area under the railroad by using a simple cover. It could be concrete, it could be steel. That raised the issue of easements and other matters. The consensus among the attendees was nobody knew if an easement existed or not. That prompted me to make a bet with a certain person who was present, whose name I will not mention, that I could find out in a very short time who and how we'd have to go about getting an easement across the area in order to put a cover. My suggestion was that the highway department would, in fact, put a cover across it, etc. On January 14th, I got a reply from Joan Pribble, manager of contracts, Union Pacific Railroad. It's a very simple matter to find out who's in charge, because the internet affords a set opportunity. I learned it by simply typing in Google, Union Pacific Railroad. From there, I entered their website and found Joan Pribble's name. She was good enough to respond the following. If Caltrans wishes to install a drainage pipe or culvert on railroad property, they must make application to the railroad and provide their detailed plans. The application process can be found at our website, up.com. Choose real estate and then choose drainage. This requires detailed construction plans and hydrology study. It's as simple as that. In a conversation that was led to believe incredible knowledge, access, and connection to those county resources that could identify for us whether or not an easement exists. If in fact, there is an easement granted to the highway department, then there's some motion that we can make. There's some movement that I believe we can make. I have seen what happens when the public unites, when boards unite, and staffs unite, and when they come together with the object and purpose of creating a solution. I have firsthand personal experience in this county in recent weeks that that's true. In fact, I was at a meeting last evening that proved it once again. That has to do with the flood control channel clearing and the maintenance of it. Perhaps this board could, at some time, if not this evening, pass a motion that directs Mr. Cooney to do the work necessary to determine whether or not an easement exists. That's step number one. If an easement exists, step number two could reasonably be that this board would, by resolution, move forward to the county a request that the county, in concert with the state of California, would finally develop a solution to this problem. Could be as simple in cost as perhaps less than $50,000. I also took the effort to find out what a metal culvert, the half pipe, would cost. That's about $50,000. Okay, that's a lot of money, but it could be done. Yes, engineering has to be done. Yes, other stuff has to be done. We need a catch basin to take sediment.
Somebody has to clean it out.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. But there could be a relatively simple solution. And it could be that this board, even though it's not the direct charge of this board, could initiate the action and could create motion and momentum. That's what we need. There is power in momentum. Okay? Once it's understood, in fact, that the state has an easement, then we can bring forces to bear. We can go to our state representatives and ask for assistance. They can put pressure on the railroad if needed. They can make things happen with the highway departments and such. I think there's a solution. I think it's fairly simple. My request this evening, with all due respect, to see if it's not possible for us to determine locally.
And just briefly, last year in January, we ordered the highway court for First American Title Company to try and research this very issue. We obtained a copy of the parcel map that was done by the railroad in 1993 that plots all the easements in the area. The title report also calls out all the easements that show in the public record. There are a number of roadway and drainage easements in the area, but in the vicinity where this culvert lies and the pathway lies, it does not appear that any of the recorded easements or the items called out in the map are those that are the issue involved in this matter.
Thank you. If that in fact is the case, thank you again for speaking, Ted. If that in fact is the case, then it just changed the direction. Just changed the direction. And that is to initiate connection with the county, with the highway department to secure the appropriate and necessary easement. And that's why an application process to Union Pacific Railroad is just as simple as that. We can't do that as a community. There should be nothing, nothing that prohibits us from taking that kind of action to safeguard the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens. Thank you.
Is there any additional public comment? I'll take another comment on item number 15 now.
So, President Dahl, so how are you going to, maybe you can inform us how you're going to proceed forward. Are you going to inform us?
Is this on item number 15?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, item number 15. Does that have to do with flooding?
No.
Potential litigation?
Yes.
For? Because I can only see pending litigation.
Right.
It's a really broad term, so.
It's involved in pending litigation, and the agenda calls out a specific matter of litigation that's involved. And this was a subject of an open session 6 months or so ago, and I plan to present. By the insurance company involved in those rejected. And now that process is in. Well, no codes were cited there.
Can you just tell us what the title is? I mean, if even the president, but can you just give us the title? What is the litigation?
The title is California Capital Insurance Company, Safeco Insurance Company versus County of San Luis Obispo.
Can it be related to what happened in public session?
That's a matter of public record. It's been discussed before. If you want me to give a brief synopsis of it, I can. In approximately April,
executive session And there's quite a few folks that have been here at Oceano for a long, long time. And they've seen things change here. But that particular corner there where the tree fell, that tree has been there probably over 100 years, just like it has been out here. And nothing had ever happened to that tree until they started excavating and changing the landscape of that particular corner. That they built, I don't know how many homes on Dogridge. So I think before you go into closed session, you really look at that closely and see, in fact, who was at fault. Whether it was that particular contractor that was involved in the construction part of it, and did he do any research in the excavation of that particular area? Because what really happened out there was that once it was left alone, that tree came down. And it really wasn't anything, it wasn't rainstorm or anything, it just came down because of the fact that they had tampered with that land around that particular tree. That's what I see. As a novice, as a person who sees this area constantly, in my observation. So I think that you folks who are going to sit in this closed session, that have been involved in the community, should really look at these little issues closely. Because it's very important that we're not liable, the district is not liable for other people's faults. And I think we had the same situation with the flooding here. I think we should look at it closely. And I think this gentleman here gave us a lead as to which way to go and address this that we had never heard before in the past. But I think we should have heard it from you folks first. Because we have legal counsel here. Because we have a general manager who's been around for a long, long time and knows a lot of the folks in the county and the cities and stuff like this. I think it's been talked about in the past, but it's never been taken seriously. And I think it's time that we do take things seriously.
Thank you. One moment.
The public comment. Max just mentioned that point that there was a comment made. Someone else had a view of when the tree fell. Mike, are you refreshing me on that?
Excavation of the ground.
It was the excavation room?
Yeah, there are other possibilities that it could have fallen.
Okay.
Yes. Item 15.
Yes, item 15. To tag on what Max had related to us, a project had come across the Ocean Advisory Council here last year regarding a particular project where it was a 5-acre project. And there were some residences whose property adjoined that particular project, and they had a series of pines. And they were alerted of this project, and they had hired an arborist and confirmed that the setbacks, the present setbacks of that community, that project would have overstepped the rip line and would have harmed those trees, and as a result, in time, would have basically destroyed the trees and fall down. So they got their act together, got an arborist, and they had those setbacks changed from 5 feet to 20 feet. So I can confirm that possibly the arborist might be under consideration here, that there was tampering with the root structure in terms of setbacks that the project that should be looked at.
Anyone else? Okay. We wanted to restructure this so that the Sheriff's Department can report any additions. So, at this point in time, we'll move on to
6A.
Item number 6A.
Good evening. As you probably are aware, I am not Commander Basti. I'm Sergeant Dave Kentz. I have been assigned to the South Station since January 1st. I'm replacing Sergeant Nix as the alternate supervisor for the nights that Sergeant Bevel is off. I've been with the Sheriff's Department since 1989. I've got a total law enforcement experience of 23 years. I've recently been paroled from the Blush Commander's Office, so I'm very happy to be down here. Now actively in the field again. I spent some time as the school resource officer supervisor. I spent some time with detectives. Sir, Commander Basti would like me to pass on to you that we've had nothing unusual going on patrol.
That is on 30th Thursday and Friday before Mardi Gras weekend. Will that come down right in front of us here?
I have not seen a map concerning the bike tour.
Is that the 8th, right?
No, it's the Tour of California.
Tour of California. I know they're expecting a lot of people in town in San Luis Obispo are riding, which is going to be a completely different route than normally.
But on their way from San Luis Obispo to Santa Barbara, I was wondering if it'll be here in front of us.
That's a good question.
Then you will be busy as it is.
I'm sorry?
Then you will be busy as it is, protecting the bicycle.
Well, yeah, I will roll the next large engine with the traffic will later tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great. Anybody else welcome to this year?
Thank you. Thank you.
Could you take any questions from the public?
Sure.
Public have any questions?
Just welcome you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
Okay. Now we will adjourn into the closed session.
I think the best way, logically, would be to take up 15 first, and then we could dismiss the one director would recuse himself.
Right, I'll go look for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a cup of coffee, but I'll be sitting so much longer.
15 first.
Yeah, 15 first. Session.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Very. Wait a minute, I need to ask something.